Because of listeners like you, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Let me begin this program by asking a question. What are some things that the Holy Spirit does in the life of a believer? Some things that are available to every Christian, every single believer, and then other ministries or gifts of the Holy Spirit that are not available to each and every believer, but it differs. We're going to talk about this and more on this and tomorrow, our editions of Exploring the Word. We're going to look at the ministries of the Holy Spirit. We finished up the book of Malachi. And Bert, would you agree there's a difference between the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Would you agree?
Agree fully. They're listed at separate places. But I would say this. The fruit of the Spirit will make the gifts of the Spirit work much better in a followers of Christ life. You catch what
Amen.
I'm saying?
Yes, yes. And if you're a born-again believer, you have one or more gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. And Bert, this is one of my favorite subjects, and I'll tell you why. Because, well, for a lot of reasons. One, it's in the Bible, and I think it behooves us always to draw our conclusions and our positions from God's Word. But the Holy Spirit of God, imagine this. Let's say you've got a job to do. Say, the Great Commission, make disciples of all nations, and to glorify God and to represent His kingdom to the very ends of the earth. But then there's your own personal walk, and then your ministry to those closest to you, your family. And then you're part of a church, and then, you know, there's a lot that all of us really should be a part of in relation to a local fellowship. But the Christian life and our impact for the Great Commission, that there's a lot involved in that. So let's say you've got a toolkit and you've got a lot of resources, and the most potent tool, the strongest, most powerful tool in your toolkit, wouldn't you want to be thoroughly familiar and utilize it? And I think that's why the Holy Spirit is so important, because in the life of the Christian, and certainly in the work of the church, there is nothing more potent, more powerful, more relevant for every generation than the blessing, the favor, the power, the guidance of God's Holy Spirit.
Amen. And honestly, it's to our advantage that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is here with us. Now, again, why? The gifts, the fruits, all of that of the Holy Spirit. John 16, I was looking, where in the world do you start? And you may want to, I want to bring this in just real quickly, and we get to the fruit and get to the gifts. But John 16, Jesus is getting ready to depart, and he's telling them he's going to leave. Chapter 16, verse 7. This verse has blessed me. I've got it underlined. I've got it highlighted in both of my Bible. I have one Bible I keep here at the office, and I have the other Bible at home that I preach from on Sunday. So I have two that I use. But listen to this. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage." He's talking to the apostles, to all those who are following him. "It is to your advantage that I go away, that I leave you. For if I do not go away, the Helper," another name for Holy Spirit, "will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, here's what he'll do. For the word, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you see no more. In judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Now wait till I get to verse 13. I need to read that. But I still have many things to say to you, but you can't hear them right now. However, this is one of the most beautiful howevers that's in the Bible. However, when he, not it, but he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come, and he will glorify me. Alex, again, that passage, I believe as much as any passages in the Scripture, tells us what you were just talking about, the power that's available, the necessity of the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Without him, we would be orphans. But he says, I don't want you to be orphans. I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you. So I love that. Verse 7, notice these words. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, I'm going to leave, but something better is coming. And then verse 13, however, when he'll come, he'll guide you. So, Alex, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the gifts, in the fruit, listen, it's to our advantage. Would we have those if Jesus was here beside us? No, we have them because the Holy Spirit is able to dwell in us. Does that sound like it's to our advantage?
Absolutely. You know, every now and then we have callers and they'll, you know, express some of their circumstances and they'll ask, you know, why do you think this or that happened? And yeah, many times in life, in the life of a believer, circumstances come about and we think, you know, what is God doing here? Bert, I know those early disciples must have, at first, they must have thought their heart would break. Here is Jesus. He's been with them 3 years. And he says, I'm going to die, going to rise again. I'm going to go. And that certainly that wouldn't be beneficial for Christ to depart the earth and go back to heaven. And yet, I love that passage that you've read. I've pondered on it many times. Jesus said to that early church, it is to your benefit that I go because I'm going to send another, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside, the comforter, the helper, the Holy Spirit of God. And that is so powerful. And folks, we know Peter preached at Pentecost, the Spirit of God fell. I love Acts 2:47. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 5:42, daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. And we are part of that church age to this day. I mean, we really are. I know it's been 2,000 years and we might not think about it, but really the Christians of the 21st century are marching to the same drumbeat of the Christians at Pentecost, really, Bert, in the book of Acts. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit was ministering in this world long before the day of Pentecost. In fact, in the second verse of Scripture, Genesis 1 verse 2, about the 25th word into the Bible, we read about God's Holy Spirit, don't we?
Amen. And the Spirit moved. Now, okay, just put those two words together. Spirit moved, the Spirit moving. When you see creation, he was moving. Guess what was happening at Pentecost? The Holy Spirit of God was moving into and dwelling in. The Holy Spirit, you know, have you heard, and I don't want to take this too far, shakers and movers and everything. When it comes, the Holy Spirit of God, he's the mover. He is moving in. He calls individuals to leave where they are and launch out. And so that passage of Scripture that you're reading there in Genesis, I just love it. And then it'd go on. It said, let us make man in our image, us, plurality. Yes. Again, Holy Spirit is not less than. He is equal to, just like Jesus, equal to the Father. Jesus, man, he made much of the Holy Spirit. Did he? I mean, he Amen. Really did make much of the Holy Spirit, didn't he?
Absolutely. Do you remember in John 16, verse 8 and following, where Jesus said, "When the Spirit of God comes, the Spirit of truth, he will convince the world of sin." And that's really synonymous with the word convict. Coming under conviction, maybe you've heard that phrase. People are aware of their sin, cognizant of their guilt. They're aware of their need for a Savior. But here's the thing. This goes all the way back to Genesis 6, verse 3. God said, "My Spirit will not strive with man forever." See, one of the great, one of the blessed ministries of the Holy Spirit, and this is not just in the New Testament, but like I say, goes all the way back to Genesis 6, 3. The Holy Spirit has been convicting people of sin. That is, making people aware of their need for Jesus. And all of us, the day that you realized, you know, I need Christ, I need forgiveness, I'm a sinner, and I need God to forgive me. When that realization came upon you, it certainly came upon me, and it even is with me to this day. I mean, we frequently have to ask God's forgiveness, even though positionally we're in Christ. But here's my point. It wasn't the world, the flesh, or the devil. Even if you've ever desired God and thought about your need to get right with the Lord, well, that's the Holy Spirit. In the mercy of God, the Spirit of the Lord is making you aware that you need to come to Christ to be saved. Praise God for the convicting, drawing, converting ministry of the Holy Spirit that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis.
Amen. That's what he has done, and he continues today, even in, I would say, a more meaningful way, since we know who Jesus was, who what he did, where he is. Now, going back to that, you talked about conviction and then of righteousness and judgment. Those three go together. The conviction, and he's in verse 9, it says, and not 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. He demonstrated this righteousness. They could look at Jesus and see righteousness. Jesus said to the apostles, "Once you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Righteousness, okay? So they convict the world of sin, and they can, who do you compare yourself with? Not other people. You may be as good as they are, but not Christ. Righteousness in the flesh, but he's going to go away. Can't see him anymore, but the Holy Spirit of God is going to bring that reality. And then of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Sin will be judged. Conviction, righteousness, judgment. The Holy Spirit of God comes in, and he does this in the world. But then he moves on. What does he do for those that have received Jesus as Savior? He guides them to truth. He glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ, and he declares truth that they can walk in that truth. Ministry of the Holy Spirit before salvation, after salvation, Alex. And it's to what? Our advantage. What a Savior, Amen. Brother.
John 14:17 calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. John 16:12 calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. Bert, I want to believe and know what's true, don't you?
Amen. And through the power of the Holy Spirit engaging us in the Word of God, you can know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Right now, more mothers need that moment of hope. Just $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps rescue 5 babies. Your generous, tax-deductible gift also helps provide mothers who choose life with love and support and care for up to 2 years. Please don't wait. Help surround mothers and babies with compassion, truth, and hope today. To donate, dial hashtag 250 and say the keyword baby. That's hashtag 250 baby, or visit preborn.com/Bert Harper. That's preborn.com, Bert Harper.
Praise him for friends and family.
Amen. I was waiting for, can we get a hallelujah and an amen? So we praise the Lord for what he's doing and asking God just to keep on doing the work that God is doing in our lives. Alex, we introduced what the Holy Spirit does coming into the world. He convicts the world. He shows them righteousness and demonstrates, and then he judges. But then after a person responds to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes into their lives, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And according to what we read there in John, he guides us to all truth. Man, we need a guide. And he glorifies the Lord Jesus, and he declares to us truth. Now, that's great advantage that we have. But the Holy Spirit of God, after that initial relationship with him, once we receive Jesus Christ into our hearts and our lives, the Holy Spirit moves in and it changes everything, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the greatest realities of life, I mean, my goodness, nothing else can compare to this, the great reality of God's Holy Spirit working in our lives. You know, I mentioned there's conviction, and you know, I really think that goes all the way back to childhood. And if we think about it, you know, and Bert, I've interviewed, you know, many, many people, and I think about in my own life, we might call it conscience, but I think it's the work of the Holy Spirit drawing us, speaking to us, God's Holy Spirit influencing us ever since childhood. And that's why it's vitally important, no matter what your age is, do not ignore, and heavens, don't suppress the promptings of God's Holy Spirit. And I mentioned before the break, the Spirit of Truth. Whenever you're feeling like you need to do the right thing, well, that's God's Holy Spirit, you know. Jesus said he will guide you into all truth. It's a beautiful thing. But there is, at the moment of salvation, regeneration, and this is worth talking about in depth. We've talked about it many times, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that we are spirit, soul, and body. And your spirit is that part of you that lasts forever, everlasting. And we are dead in our trespasses and sins, but when you come to Christ, in John 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, born again or born from above. Well, the Holy Spirit regenerates your spirit. So the essence, the core of you is regenerated, made alive. That's in Titus 3:5, and I mentioned John chapter 3:5-8. Now, for the rest of our life, our mind gets renewed by Scripture. And the Spirit of God that gave the words of Scripture works within us to know and understand and comprehend that Scripture. Our mind is renewed, as Paul writes about. And then one day our body gets glorified. But Bert, let me just run over some of these ministries of the Holy Spirit. As I said, there's regeneration, and there's indwelling and sealing. I believe the Holy Spirit of God indwells every believer from the moment of salvation. And we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is Romans 6:3, that we are united with the body of believers, the body of Christ, because we're united with Christ himself. I don't mean to be colloquial, but you're on the team. You know, you're part of the family of God, the body of believers. And, you know, Bert, maybe some folks are in their church, they recite the Apostles' Creed, which is an ancient statement of belief. Some of the more, you know, high church churches recite the Apostles' Creed, which I really believe in. But there's a word some people kind of get a little concerned about it. Listen, it says, I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church. It doesn't say the Roman Catholic Church, but the word Catholic is a variant of a Latin word that means the universal or global church.
Right.
Now, not universalism, but the church going all the way back to Bible times, to the present moment, as we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, united to Christ and His church, we're family with the people at our church. We're the family of believers with D.L. Moody, Martin Luther, the Reformers, and all the way back to the apostles themselves. We are united with the family of believers throughout history.
Amen. What a thought. And one day in heaven, we'll get to meet all those fellow members, using your term, on the team that followed Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now we'll get to that later again as well concerning the gifts. But after he lists those gifts and tells quite a bit about each concerning spiritual gifts in verses 12 and 13 of 1 Corinthians, this is vital to, I believe, understand. For as the body is one and has many members, and that's just what you were talking about, many members, D.L. Moody, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Dr. Adrian Rogers, that we quote quite often, as with the Lord, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now listen to verse 13, baptism. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. That's that body that they're referring to. Whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all have been able to drink into the Spirit. Man, nourishment. When I said drink of the Spirit, I could not help but think of John chapter 4, when Jesus saw the woman, Samaritan woman at the well, and said, if you let down your bucket, you're going to get water. But the water that I tell you, it's everlasting, and drinking from it is what you want, the spiritual water. Now, Alex, that word, we're all baptized into one body. This is that word, baptized, but in the language that it says, it has the idea of baptized once and for all. It's the ending of it and the last of it in the Greek word. It's not many baptisms. It's that one baptism. All were baptized into one body. The Bible doesn't command us to be baptized in the Spirit. It says this is the result of Jesus Christ coming into our life. You're baptized into the Spirit, baptized in Spirit. And so we have this relationship with Him once He comes into our lives, and He says, I'll never leave you. I will not forsake you. I'm with you always. I think another one, and I'll throw it back to you, Romans 8, 14 through 16, has something to do with that as well. In verse 15, it says, you receive the Spirit of adoption when we cried out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Now, Alex, the Holy Spirit coming into our lives, as you said, indwelling us, regenerating. And yes, that's many benefits. So we have this event in our lives when Christ comes in, but the Holy Spirit doesn't just come in to leave to give us an event. The Holy Spirit of God comes in to stay with us and to work out our salvation. That doesn't mean we work for or work it out, that we are saved, but we're working it out into serving the Lord, aren't we?
Amen. Amen. And, you know, there's so much we talk about the different ministries, like sanctification, whereby we grow and grow, and the flesh and temptation has less and less a grip on us, and we're more and more always in step. You know, Galatians 5 talks about walk in the Spirit. And, Bert, I think for walking in the Spirit to be more and more just natural for us and habitual. That's part of sanctification.
Amen.
And I want to get there. There's so much to talk about. But for just a moment, I want to digress. And one of the questions we get is, what is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? And before we get too much into that, let me just say this. As I understand it, you feel free to agree or disagree. First of all, God doesn't change. Malachi 3, I, the Lord, change not. God doesn't change his nature, who he is. But Old Testament, New Testament, the way the Holy Spirit ministered in the life of a believer is different. I believe in the church age, post-Pentecost, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you. You're sealed, you're indwelt, and the Holy Spirit of God will never leave you as a new covenant, New Testament believer. But when I look at, like, say, the life of, in the Old Testament, say, King Saul, says the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, or Samson, you know, the Spirit of God departed from Samson, or King David. King David, you know, after Bathsheba, and he said, you know, cast me not from your presence, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Bert, is it fair to say that before Christ, the resurrection, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would come upon a person but may withdraw or leave? In the church age, I don't see that. And there are godly, obedient believers, there are carnal, backslidden believers, but the Holy Spirit indwells, and that indwelling is forever in the life of a New Testament Christian. Do you agree?
I agree fully. I'll never leave. That's about as plain as you can get. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you how long? Always. And the person I look at in the Old Testament that seems to have I'm the closest thing to a New Testament relationship to the Holy Spirit is King David. Now, again, I say that, say it with caution, but when you read Psalm 51,
I love it,
and you see the ministry of the Holy Spirit of convicting him, and in verse 12, I love that. Again, this is in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. David had this understanding that the ministry of the Holy Spirit was real. And again, I agree with you. Leave, yes. But in the New Testament, it's steadfast, it's there. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was real. The Spirit would come upon Samson, you know, at those times to do great works. So, but we have this relationship with Jesus Christ through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who glorifies him, guides us to follow him. And again, using that passage that are in John 16, he declares the truth. We're able to have this greater understanding. If we had the Bible without the Holy Spirit, we would be limited, Alex.
Amen. Amen. And so as a believer, you're a believer. We often talk about New Testament or New Covenant, and those words are really synonymous, the covenant and the guarantee. As we've said so many times, the Old Testament saints, in faith, they looked toward the Savior that would one day come. Obviously, it's Jesus. We look back in faith at the Savior that did come. Same Jesus, just two different sides of the cross. We are part of the new covenant. We don't go through works and rituals in anticipation of the Messiah that would come. In trust or faith, we believe in Jesus, and he fulfilled all the law. Now, we should live morally and live righteously and grow in the Lord. But here's something beautiful, Bert. 2 Corinthians 1:22 and Ephesians 1:13, we are sealed for the Holy Spirit. I am so glad. Now, should we live right and do right? Absolutely. But it wasn't works that got us saved, and it isn't work that keeps us saved. 2 Corinthians 1:22, He has put his seal upon us, the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, we are sealed. I am glad that it's God that reached me. It's God that regenerated me. It's God that sealed me and preserves me. It's certainly not Alex.
Amen. That passage in 2 Corinthians 22, listen to the verse before it, 21. Now he who establishes us with you, that is with you. Paul is saying, listen, he is just talking about the church being part of it. He establishes with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. He's the one that's done this, who also has sealed us, and listen to this, the rest of it, and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a deposit of the things that's going to come, really. I would say this, the Holy Spirit has led us to all truth, but we hadn't seen anything yet. There, honestly, can you say there's even a better day coming?
Absolutely. You know, we often quote Adrian Rogers. I often quote also Josh McDowell, probably the predominant mentor I ever had in my life, Josh McDowell. And Josh would say that you're standing with God, it's identity, not performance.
Amen.
Who we're in Christ, that's our identity. Should we live right and do right? Absolutely. But your standing with God is not on performance, it's on your identity.
That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we identify with Him. He's come to us. That number, 888-589-8840. Give us a call.
America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Beautiful music there. Hey, that number, if you've got a Bible question, the number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Let me ask everybody to please be in prayer this weekend, day after tomorrow on Friday. We've got our first of two trips to the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center, and there'll be people just coming from all over. And I've got the great, great privilege to be teaching at the Cove, and we're just asking God to really move in a powerful way. Bert, we always have people from 40, 45 states and several countries, and we're just, as we gather around the Billy Graham Conference Center this weekend, we just want the fire of revival to Amen. Touch all of us, and I covet everyone's prayers. The other thing I would ask people to pray for, in about 3 weeks, on August 8th, we have Eric Metaxas coming. It's one of our speaker series, Conversations That Matter. And, you know, he and I were on the phone this week, and we're just praying for a great move of God here in America. And so if you want to come, just check out alexmcfarland.com. We're going to be Eric Metaxas and I, August 8th. It's free. Won't cost you anything. Come out. Let's hear some inspiring content. Let's pray. Let's have revival.
Amen. And looking forward to that, praying for it, that God would just work and get the glory. And that number, if you've got a question, that question can be asked. 888-589-8840. We have lines that are open. But where do we go to first, Alex?
My home state, North Carolina. Deborah in North Carolina. Deborah, thanks for calling. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
All right. Thank you guys for allowing me to ask a question. I think I got two questions. Number one, do you remember William Carey, the father of missions? He him and his wife, they went to India to be missionaries. But she, for some reason, she had a mental or illness or something. But he never took a furlough. So I was wondering, how far do we go with ministry and overlook our family? I'm not saying he did. I didn't have to do enough research on it. I was just
okay, so. William Carey. Alex, the father of modern missions. Well, yeah. Guess, let me see. His profession was a shoe cobbler.
Yeah, that's true.
But he Deborah, was a linguist. Amazing man. Go ahead, Alex.
Do you know, I'm under conviction even answering this question, because I really think in the spirit of stewardship, we should take time off. I don't think the Lord expects us to just work until we fall over dead. I used to hear preachers when I was a young Christian, they'd say, well, I'd rather burn out than rust out. Well, let's not do either one. Let's be good stewards. And Bert, the other thing I would say is our family is our first ministry, really.
Amen.
And look, I believe in going to 50 states and the ends of the earth, and I've done it, believe me. But I give God the glory. Angie and I both, our parents that deeply needed us, and our family members, nieces and nephews. I think that with God's help, we've tried, and I know you and Jan, you've raised fantastic godly kids. Bert, I love the missionaries of old, like William Carey, but I don't think God expects us to neglect family in the cause of the gospel, do you?
I do not. When you look at the Old Testament, you'll find out God had certain days to pull aside from your routine, and it was with your family. Joseph and Mary, they went up to the temple together. Now, it was tough traveling, but it was still together. That's why Jan and I do the fishbowl retreat. Husband, pastors, and their wives. By the way, I'm just throwing, hopefully y'all heard Jan's voice in one of the breaks promoting Fishbowl Retreat, but you can go to repairingthefoundations.net. It's going to be a great, great week. We're going to have our 3 days, and just God is our sustainer, so he's going to see us through. But yes, I do believe Jesus came apart from ministry to get aside for a while. I believe he rested in the boat. He got aside. Mm-hmm. So there's proof of that, Deborah.
Amen. And did Deborah have a second question?
Yes, please. I had another one. I remember we were talking about the sipping saints, and I was trying to go on Amazon to find the book, but I couldn't remember the author. Do you remember the author name you had given me?
Yes, that was David Wilkerson, actually. There was a book, and this has probably been 30 years ago, but it was a good little paperback book that was really a call to abstinence from alcohol. It was by David Wilkerson. Bert, and he was a pretty famous guy, wasn't he?
Oh, man. Listen, if you've Googled this, the cross and the switchblade.
Yes.
How, that's, 50 years old probably now, I would,
at
you know?
Least.
And but
and, he started Times Square Church, and he also, one of the great, forgive me for jumping in here, one of the absolute most successful drug detox ministries is called Teen Challenge.
Amen.
And David Wilkerson was the founder of that.
You bet. So thank you, Deborah.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to go to Texas. Colleen in Texas. Welcome to the program, Colleen.
Yes. Hello, everyone, again. Yes, yeah. I'm calling this time for the Holy Spirit. I want to comment on the Holy Spirit. And the Hebrew and the Greek words are used with reference to one, when, two, the active life force in earthly creatures. So I also is in the book of John, and I'm at verse 63 of chapter 6, I believe. Yes, John 6, 63. And it says that it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh top is nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. That's what Jesus is saying. And also, I read in the Bible where Paul also said that the body was useless. And that's why he said, too, Paul said that the man that he is on the outside is wasting away, but the man that he is on the inside is being renewed every day. He was talking, Paul saying, the spirit that's in him is being renewed, but his body is dying every day. And it is by God's spirit that man is created physically, and it is by God's spirit that he is recreated spiritually.
Amen, Colleen. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God, he is he is God in the flesh. That verse there in John that you were talking about, the Spirit gives life. We're dead in our trespasses and sin until we receive Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes in and brings what? We talked about regeneration and dwelling. He brings life, really, spiritual life, doesn't he, Alex?
He really does. Kind of the words, and Colleen, thank you for commenting. In the Hebrew, it's the word ruach. It's like R-U-A-C-H, ruach, and then that is breath or wind. Generally, ruach is related to God's power, and ruach Elohim is God's Holy Spirit. Now, the Greek word that's pretty much the counterpart is pneuma, and that can not only refer to the breath of God in a person, but just the, you know, the spirit of a man. But, Bert, I think it's so exciting because only the Bible accurately gives us the true information about God's Holy Spirit, the spirit of life. God breathed into Adam, and man became a living soul.
Amen.
And so it is with all of us. And then the way that our spirit gets regenerated through faith in Jesus.
And only through him.
We're going to go to North Carolina again. This is Angie in North Carolina. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, it's Angie.
Wow, that's a familiar voice. Bert, this Angie is very, very close to the program. Well, hello, young lady. How are you today?
I just want you to know I'm a repeat call-in person, and I'm a everyday listener when I can listen to Exploring the Word with Bert Harper and Alex McFarland, and I just love your show. And I just wanted to put out a shout for our last night of VBS tonight, and I was hoping that Dr. McFarland might help and participate in the church clap song if a child comes to Christ.
Okay, so we're doing Bible school at Mount Pleasant Church, and the church clap song is a video where all these kids, they love it. It's amazing. Now, I'm not good at the actions. I don't have the rhythm, but I will do my best.
But you don't have to be. But if a child comes to Christ, would you do the church clap song with us?
I will enthusiastically. I'll do more. I'll turn cartwheels. But thank you. And
Angie,
way
to go. Hey, how's Bible school going, Angie?
It's going great. We had 12 the first night. We had 18 the second. We had 17 last night. So I'm praying for more than 18 tonight, but we'll just see what God has for us, you know?
Amen. Mm. Bible schools all over. I check out certain churches' websites, and all of them are talking about vacation Bible school. Some of them are this week. They've had them before. I know some that's having it next week. God do a great work in Bible school.
These kids are so excited about Christ, and they love, of all things, the song Deep and Wide with the Axe. They love that song.
It's been around a while, hadn't it, Alex?
Amen.
Yeah.
we're way out in the country, and I give God the glory to have 17 and 18 kids in Bible school. Believe it or not, that's doing really good out where we are. But thank you, Angie, and I'm very proud of you leading the music as you're doing. God bless you. We're going to go to Iowa. Marty in, or is it Indiana or Iowa, Marty? Where are you?
It's in Iowa. And Bert and Alex, I thank you guys so much. I enjoy listening to you guys every day. This morning, I was in Romans 7, and I just was amazed at this. Paul saying, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth." And then he goes on to describe the marriage of a man and a woman. And for the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. Paul goes on to the end where he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And he used a word picture of marriage. And in our battle on this earth, I'm born again. Jesus has saved me. But it's as though I play the role of an adulterer. If I just, with the Ten Commandments, I mess up daily, just in my heart and in my thoughts. And it's just so interesting how we know that the marriage of Jesus is what will give us eternal life. But it's like I'm not divorcing myself from the Ten Commandments, and I don't know if you can while you're in this old body of flesh.
Okay. Alex, got a comment for Marty or whatever? Well, clarification?
I'm glad you're in the book of Romans. And, you know, that's marriage is a beautiful picture of Christ in the church. And I want to say this, although it's probably not talked about as much as it should be, that Christian marriage really is a covenant, isn't it, Bert? Just like salvation is a covenant. And just as salvation, church, it should be commitment, not consumerism. Marriage is the same way. It's a covenant commitment, not bless me if you can or I'll move along. No, it's a life commitment.
And the importance of this, just I know God has three great, great systems. Let me put it that way. You can use a better word. Marriage, government, and church. Those three. And that relationship that we have, talking about the Ten Commandments, Marty. Listen, Pastor Joseph Parker does the Ten Commandments project each year. And, you know, we realize the purpose of that, the law. It was as a schoolmaster to show us how short we come from it. But at the same time, it also gives us, especially the Ten Commandments, those moral situations that we need to keep. But it starts out before the relationship with your wife, before the relationship with your neighbor. Alex, the relationship we have with God, priority, isn't it?
It really is, or it should be at least. I hear that music. We can't take another call right now. Tomorrow, what we're going to do, we're going to continue talking about the multifaceted ministries of the Holy Spirit in the believer and in the church. I'm excited. Please plan on tuning in, folks.
Yes, we are going to get to it. We're going to talk about the filling. We're going to talk about the fruit and the gifts. We got some more to say about it. And if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to tell you what he has given us according to what it said in John chapter 6. Jesus said, "I'm going to go away, but it's to your advantage, because when I go away, I'm going to send you the Comforter, and he's going to do great things in you." Alex, I'm looking forward to tomorrow, and I hope everyone that's listening is looking forward to it. Tell someone about the program, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Preborn's whole mission is to rescue babies from abortion and lead their families to Christ. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saw 8,900 mothers come to Christ. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.